back in New Hampshire today, the weekend edition. You know, I'm going to make a pledge. I think from now on, what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually record the off segments, the in-betweens when you guys don't actually hear us talking, because we do continue the conversation. I have to tell you, Ryan, you and Brian had a really fascinating dialogue. Because we talked about education. We forget to talk about your marketing background, too. That's where you are now in your life. And that was a fascinating conversation. I thought we should have just recorded that and maybe done a podcast. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd certainly be open to that. And, you know, Brian seems like a great guy. He's running a great business. He's a young guy in New Hampshire trying to make a New Hampshire-based business thrive. And so I can do nothing but support that. So anything I can do to help Brian, I surely will do so.
Yeah, you guys are going to connect. I'll tell you a story, and Brian hates it when I tell this story. So he used to come on a long time ago. We used to have a Saturday morning show, a live Saturday morning show, and he used to come on. We used to have him come on once a month. They'd do the cooking segment. They'd do a drink of the month or whatever it was. And when Brian first started coming on, we used to post pictures of him up on our Facebook, and our female audience just accelerated. They just thought he was the cutest thing, and they were like, "When's Brian? When's Brian coming back on? When's Brian's coming?" And he hates it when I tell that story. And it was, we used to get calls while he was on the air, too. And finally, we had to say, you know, well, guys, Brian is married and has a daughter. And Ryan, I want to figure out, once again, we're talking to Ryan Terrell. First segment, all these things are posted up online as well, so you catch that out. It was a wonderful conversation about education, your educational journey, and how really, I just thought your advice to parents and students about having that dialogue was fascinating. You know what I wanted to talk about ending the show with is that you and I had the kind of, I guess it would be the honor, we had this privilege of being a July 4th in Market Square, historical Market Square in Portsmouth, in front of the North Church, where the signer of the Declaration of Independence from New Hampshire actually attended, and George Washington went there as well. I wanted to get your sense, you know, and they did a wonderful story. What was it like for you, that historical setting, and starting off by reading the Declaration of Independence?
It was really surreal, and honored doesn't even quite really summarize the feeling that I had by being able to read the portion that I specifically read for the Declaration at the location that we were at. You know, in this world of modernity, and oftentimes, certainly my generation, don't know that much about American history or kind of cater towards history in general, it was truly, truly surreal and out-of-body experience to have those words come out of my mouth in front of a group of people. You know, you read these things in high school, or you read them in private, and you can hear them in your mind, but it's a totally different feeling when you begin to proclaim them in front of people and see the feelings and looks on their faces as those words kind of really hit their ears. Because I think that not that many people have heard the Declaration of Independence read aloud to them.
Yeah.
And so it really strikes a chord with people and reminds them what exactly we're doing in this country.
Well, and two, once again, Ryan, we had the Fife Corps there. It was neat. You know what? I don't know if you noticed it, because when you're up there reading, and the audience just was mesmerized. But I don't think you noticed that next door was a cafe, and people actually got up from the cafe and walked over while you were reading. And I think that people want to hear those words, but like you said, they don't have that opportunity too often.
Right. You know, the Declaration, unfortunately, is not a document that people read along the dinner table and kind of hear in commonplace. So it was a great honor to be able to read it aloud. That was actually the first time that I had read those words aloud. And as I was reading them, I was getting this chilling sensation down my spine, because you can feel the feelings and emotions and pain and what those people that put pen to paper and wrote those words were actually feeling when they made that declaration. And so it was just great to channel those words and then put them out into this modern world, because they still hold true today.
You know, I'm going to post Ryan's information up online as well. Ryan Terrell, of course. Before we let you go, Ryan, one other thing about that is, you and I talked offline about, I went to education. I had a classical liberal education. And what I mean by that, and people misunderstand that word, is when I was in Portsmouth school system, I had a wonderful high school teacher, Mrs. Johnson. And we didn't read about Thomas Jefferson. We read Thomas Jefferson. So we read the words of Thomas Jefferson. So she believed in that classical education of, don't take the word of other people conveying you the message about a person. Read the person themselves and get a sense from that. You know, not going too deep into this, we're missing civics education quite a bit in our modern education system.
We are. And civics was something that was one of my favorite classes when I was going through school. As I mentioned on the previous segment, in elementary school, I participated in academic games. Presidents was one of those games where not only did you read quotes from presidents, but you understood the contextual relationship with the decisions that they made and the policies that they passed. Mm. So understanding the American history and the fabric that America was made from has always been a piece of my educational journey. And it's unfortunate that that is not as apparent in today's educational curriculum. And it certainly needs to become more apparent, because understanding the history of our nation, understanding our founding fathers and the context that all of this was created, informs the future that we're moving towards right now, and also gives us warning signs and red flags and things that they overcame and how best to overcome some of the issues that we're surely facing in the future.
And just your advice, because I don't know what it is, but like a lot of people out there, is when I read documents like that or I read history, I guess early on in my life, somebody helped me do this. I don't look at it from today's perspective. I may talk about it eventually about from today's perspective, but at some point in my life, I don't know where it was, Ryan, and maybe you can help me with this. I started, when I read those documents, I read them from that time period. I read them and I try to learn everything about the history surrounding when they do that. I think a lot of students and a lot of people today don't do that. They disconnect themselves from the historical importance of the time when our founding was really trying to figure out the next step, let alone the first step.
I completely agree with you. You know, you have to, and that's what that word empathy really implies. Mm. You have to empathize with the people from history as to what was the impetus to write or make these documents. And just like you said, literally put yourself in their shoes. When I was saying those words in front of Portsmouth, I literally felt as if we were back in 1776 and we had just said no to tyranny, and we wrote these words to exclaim not only why we were doing it, but why the bar should be raised throughout mankind. The Declaration of Independence was the first proclamation that raised the bar for humanity across the world. And I truly felt that when I was saying those words. And you're absolutely right. We need to have more empathy for those in history so that we can understand what they were going through and why they made these documents, but also between day-to-day human beings. You know, at that, I said, all of us are going through something. All of us have different ideological views. But if we use empathy to understand not what the person is saying, but why they're saying it and where they're coming from, I think that that'll do us a lot of good. And there's a quote from a British writer called Aldous Huxley, who lived from about 1894 to 1963. And in his book, Collected Essays, he says that men do not learn very much from the lessons of history is the most important of all lessons of history. Mm. And so that quote is something that I think is true today. The breadcrumbs have been left in the past to what we need to look forward to in the future. And if we utilize empathy, I think in unity, we can achieve some of the same results that our historical forefathers did in the past.
We're going to let that be the last word. That was really very good, Ryan. Once again, Ryan Terrell, thank you very much for coming on. We know we're going to be back on over the next few weeks as well, too.
Thank you for having me on, Jeff, and I appreciate the time, and I appreciate you allowing me to share my story with your listeners.
That's outstanding. So once again, guys, don't forget, thanks for joining us here this week. Don't forget, we're back next week. Catch me on Mondays and Fridays with Jack. And as we always like to say, L-F-O-D.
This has been New Hampshire Today, Weekend Edition, with Jeff Chittister on News Radio 610 at 96.7. We'll be back next week. And don't forget to tune in to New Hampshire Today with Jack Heath, Monday morning from 6 to 9 on News Radio 610 at 96.7, New Hampshire's news, traffic, and weather station.
Out here in the field.